Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In John chapter 3, we are continuing our study of the gospel according to John. John chapter 3, this is God's word. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "How can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. "Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things?" Jesus replied. "Truly, I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love the fact that Nicodemus was not only a Pharisee, but he was one of the leading Pharisees. And yet, when it was time to go talk to Jesus, he shows up at night. Now, some have speculated that that is because he was ashamed to come in the daytime, which is what I think. Others, being more charitable in nature than I am, have suggested that he was just so excited he couldn't wait till the next day. Well, that's a happy thought. It's just not very much like me. And I'm guessing not much like you either. Most of us aren't necessarily eager for everybody else to know what we wrestle with. And this man came to see Jesus, And from his initial statement, you can't really tell exactly where he's coming from. But as you continue to read his dialogue in response with Jesus, you get the impression that he was not fully on board, shall we say. He comes to Jesus at night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Nicodemus knows that Jesus has come from God, but he's just not sure what to make of things. Because Jesus is not doing things the way that others do them. And if you'll recall, the story that comes just before this is Jesus making a whip and going into the temple and turning over the tables of the money changers and driving out the animals that were there for sale. That didn't exactly set well with the leaders in the city. The Pharisees were not really excited about that and saying to one another, "You know, he's right. God did say my house will be called a house of prayer. We should have done what he did long ago." Mm-mm. They were saying, "Where do you get the authority to do this? Who put you in charge?" So Nicodemus comes at night and he says, "Look, there's no denying that you're from God." And Jesus' response shocked him. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, ponder that again. Unless someone's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Does that mean he can't enter the kingdom of God? No, Jesus is going to speak about that in a moment. But Jesus' first statement concerning being born again is, you can't even perceive it. You can't even recognize it. You don't even discern it unless God does a work in you. How dependent then are we on God for our salvation? Does salvation come when we do our part and then God does his? Or is Jesus making it emphatically and explicitly clear here that you can't even see the kingdom of God unless God's Spirit does a work in you? It is all God, folks, and he deserves all the praise. Nicodemus responds to that statement by Jesus by saying, "How's that possible? How can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Now, I don't think Nicodemus was being sarcastic. I think he was just saying, "I have no idea what you're talking about. Born again? How's this possible? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again." Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because this is not just a Bible preaching church, this is a Bible teaching church, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that not everyone everywhere agrees as to what Jesus means when he says, "You must be born of water and the Spirit." The consensus among the evangelical scholars that I have researched is that this is a reference back to something God promised through the prophet Ezekiel, and I'll read that to you. In Ezekiel, the Lord says in Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 24, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances." Again, God is saying, I will do something new, and it will involve cleansing, hence the reference to water, and it will involve spiritual rebirth. I think that's a good connection. I'm going to offer you an alternative explanation that doesn't contradict the text in any way. If you look at what Jesus says immediately after saying, "Truly I tell you, unless someone's born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit." Some hold that the reference to being born of water is just a reference to physical birth. And Jesus is saying it's not enough to be born physically, even a Jew. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Let me tell you, either way, God has to do this. And that's what we need to cling to, because otherwise there would be no point in praying for lost people to be saved. Instead, we'd need to pray to lost people to be saved. Okay? But we pray for lost people to be saved because we know God is the one who saves. And so we're counting on God to do what we can't do and what they can't do for themselves. Now, does that mean we don't appeal to people and even plead with people to repent and give their lives to Christ? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we are not stuck with that, because you're talking to a dead man. We have the privilege of talking to one who gives life to those who are dead.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus says, truly, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, when I was a kid, I heard a lot about the importance of being born again. And in my childish mind, I got the notion that somehow that was the goal, was to be born again. Jesus makes it very clear, if you just read what he says, that the goal is not being born again. The goal is life in the kingdom of God. Being born again is the necessity in order to enter into what the goal is. You can't perceive or enter the kingdom of God unless God gives you new birth by his Spirit. But when God gives you new birth by his Spirit, we're not just forgiven and now we keep on living the way we did before we were born again. The goal of being born again is life in the kingdom of God. So what is life in the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is not geography. The kingdom of God is relationship where he is king. Guess who's not king in the kingdom of God? You and me. When I received Jesus, I didn't just receive him as the sacrifice for my sins. I did believe that. I did trust that what he did on the cross atoned for my sin, took away my guilt. I believed that because God says it's true. But who is this Jesus who laid down his life for me? He is the King of glory. And so if I receive him, the one I am receiving is king. And if he's king, I'm not. That means he is now the boss, the ruler of my life. And my job is not to try and get God to fulfill my every desire. My job is to seek to know and do his will. Amen? I mean, that's what we're supposed to be about. A lot of folks come to God thinking, good, now I've found the one who can help me to do what I want. Okay? It's so good to have somebody who is infinitely strong. He knows if the stock market's going to go up or down. He knows how long the economy can continue to expand. If I get in good with him as a member of his family, I can get stock tips and end up healthy and wealthy and maybe wise. That's not the gospel according to Jesus. That's not what the New Testament teaches. Now, does God know what's going to happen with the stock market? Absolutely. And he'll give me stock tips? No, you don't need stock tips. You need a relationship with the one who loves you despite all of your failures. You need a relationship with one who paid the debt you owed so that you could spend eternity in the Father's house. That's what you need. And that's what you're offered. Now, Jesus says, don't be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind, the word for wind, and the word for spirit are the same. And Jesus is saying, God does what he will. You and I are not in charge. We don't direct him. He moves and does what he will. And we owe him everything. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. And Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't know these things? Jesus is exposing this scholar's ignorance. Some of us might think that unkind. When the man says, I don't understand, how can this be? Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, it's very complicated and I understand if you don't get it. Jesus says, you want to know about heavenly things? This is just having to do with how God deals here on earth. If you can't get this, don't be asking for the other stuff. Truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen, but you don't accept our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. What does Nicodemus need to know? He needs to know Jesus. That's what he needs. He doesn't need more information. He needs a relationship with Jesus. He needs to put his trust in Jesus. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much. He loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. You see, it doesn't come down to what you know. It comes down to who you know. Do you know Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? If you're trusting in your theological pericope, that won't get you into heaven. Do you know him? Are you trusting him? If you're trusting him, you are saved. If you are trusting in anything you have done or in your system of beliefs, you're lost. You've got to realize the futility of human religion. You've got to realize the futility of your own best efforts. You've got to come to the point where you're able to say honestly, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you come to the point where you realize you have no other hope? Have you come to the point where you realize Jesus died so that you could live? Have you asked him to take the throne of your life and to do his will through you? That's what this is about. This is the judgment, Jesus said. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. It is God who lives in us and works through us to will and to do his good pleasure. In Colossians, we read that he graciously took us out of the kingdom of darkness, the dominion of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what he's done for us. I used to be in this kingdom. I wasn't the king. I was a slave. And I was headed for destruction. I was spiritually dead. God mercifully reached down, took the blinders off my eyes, replaced my stony heart with a heart of flesh, and he took me out of that bondage and brought me into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that now, for the first time in my life, I am able to do the will of God. I don't always do it, but I can. Now I have the freedom to walk in obedience to the one who loves me so much that he gave his life for me. I've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. If you want to follow Jesus, you got to come out of the darkness into the light. And God's the one who makes it happen. And if you're saying, I need that, tell him, not me. Okay? You can tell me too, but I can't do it for you. He can. He'll give you eternal life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise. And he keeps his promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that just as the people of Israel did not have to do something in order to be healed and delivered from death, they only had to look and live. All we have to do is trust Jesus. Stop trusting ourselves. Stop trusting our efforts. Stop trusting our beliefs. And believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Thank you that whoever trusts in him has eternal life. We have no other hope, Lord. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.